Rejoice, be joyful, all you who are in mourning. This is how this Mass begins all over the world. This is what God, through Mother Church, tells each one of us today on this fourth Sunday of Lent. We have to rejoice, and so we respond, we do our best to respond to this invitation by expressing this joy liturgically. We have flowers, which we don't have during Lent. We have rose vestments, there's more music, more organ. We just actually do try to rejoice because we are aware right now that the resurrection, the celebration of the explosion of light of Christ, is approaching. And this Sunday, as we rejoice because we're aware that Easter is approaching, actually brings with some contrasts. There's a contrast between light and darkness, between joy and mourning. If we're honest and think about this, it's really not hard to recognize that life, in many ways, is filled with darkness. We think about the world. The world really is a dark place of absurd lies, of selfish interests, of unjust wars. And if what we witness every day in the world does not bring some kind of sorrow, then there's something wrong in us if we're indifferent. But obviously, darkness is not just something that we can watch on the news outside. There is also darkness inside of our hearts. We all struggle with some sins that, for some very strange, mysterious reason, have been part of our lives for years. And it seems, it feels, as if we couldn't change. We all have strange, evil desires. We all have unfulfilled dreams. And this reflection on the darkness present in our lives is particularly important for our catechumens, the elect, those who have been chosen by God to receive baptism and new life at Easter, who are here in the church with us. You are here, and you've been walking this journey because you recognize that there is darkness in your lives, and that you need God, you need his light, you need his adoption, you need his grace. Now, frequently when we contemplate this reality, that there is darkness, we tend, and this is very common, we tend to ask the same question of today's gospel. When people saw this blind man, they asked Jesus, "So who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Who sinned? Who's responsible for this? We want to know that. We want to know who can we blame for these problems that are real. Who's responsible? And normally, if we're honest, we actually want names. We want to speak about this president, or that bishop, or that leader, or that person that did this to me, so that now I'm in this darkness. But that is a wrong question. And it's a wrong question not because we cannot recognize that some people might do wrong things. We can do that. It is a wrong question because we can do nothing about their guilt. Jesus answered very clearly. He said, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him." Rather than trying to find names so that we can point fingers at what they are doing, we can actually do something about the situation itself, about the darkness that we experience. We need to understand that this is the Christian way of seeing reality, that this is the good news, that darkness, blindness, can become an occasion for more light. But for this to happen, we need to have a sincere longing, a desire, and a sense of need of that light. We cannot be complacent, as if we already know everything, as if we're doing everything we can do. We need to be moved to more, to desire more light. And even more, as we heard in the second reading, to become light. You were once darkness, says St. Paul, but now you are light in the world, in the Lord. At this Mass, on the fourth Sunday of Lent, we celebrate for the catechumens, for the elect, the second scrutiny. It is a beautiful experience to be with them as for the second time they come before God and the Church, and they experience the prayer of this community for them. This is why, when we do the scrutinies, we pray with the readings from cycle A, not the other readings that we do at the other Masses. For example, today most people are reading and reflecting on the prodigal son. Today we reflect on this beautiful gospel of the blind man receiving light, because this is what we're hoping for, what we're praying for, especially for the two of you. And in a very meaningful way, we notice, we have to be aware that these scrutinies, these prayers and questions actually always include exorcisms. We don't hear a lot about that, but it is a reality. We ask God to free you in every possible way from the power of the evil one. And we will actually hear very strong words in the prayers that the Church will offer for both of you. We will say this, that they may be freed from deceits that surround and blind them, so that they can become children of light. We will ask God to free all who are oppressed beneath the yoke of the Father of lies, so that they can delight in the joy of your light. It is our duty as a community of faith, and I would say our joyful duty, to fervently pray for them, to pray that their hearts will be more and more open to receiving the light of Christ that is coming more and more. It is our duty. We have to commit. And this duty and this occasion and this fourth Sunday of Lent, so filled with joy, is an occasion for more light for them, but for all of us. So that these days of Lent, now the final stretch of Lent, can truly be a time of holiness, a time of change, of growth, of conversion, of more prayer and more penance, so that our hearts can be ready for sharing their joy at Easter. So may we all rejoice today, for we know the good news again, that light really is stronger than any darkness, that at Easter we will see that explosion of light becoming a reality for them in baptism, for us in renewing our faith. For today we know so clear that joy will finally overcome all mourning.